It's Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. For evidence that Maryland's criminal justice system needs reform, some point to its recidivism rate, the inefficiency shown in the fact that 3 years after inmates leave prison, 4 out of 10 are back behind bars. There's a bipartisan drive in the legislature to create a task force that would attach Maryland to a reform movement called the Justice Reinvestment Initiative, or JRI, a multi-state effort run by the U.S. Justice Department and the Pew Center on the States. We turn to Governor Hogan's point man on the issue, Christopher Schenck, who heads the Governor's Office of Crime Control and Prevention, which he calls GOCAP, and we asked him to tell us what the Justice Reinvestment Initiative is.
What it basically does is set up a process in the state of Maryland that 26 other states have undertaken throughout the country to systemically use a data-driven approach to analyze their criminal justice system. And by that, look at what the key drivers are in terms of our incarceration, who is being sentenced for what crimes, for how long, and then taking a look at ways in which the state can reinvest into evidence-based treatment programs or sentencing reforms that will essentially allow us to look at our correction system, our recidivism rate in the state of Maryland, which is around 40%, find ways that we can, at the same time of improving public safety, reduce our recidivism rate.
Let me break this down into a couple of parts. You use some broad terms that carry a lot of meaning, like reducing recidivism, sentencing reform. I mean, you're really talking about a top-to-bottom, complete reexamination of criminal justice in Maryland.
That is absolutely correct. This is we're going big. The idea is in some states, and we have, I'm sure you've probably covered, we have pretrial issues in the state of Maryland. We've got parole and probation issues in the state of Maryland. You've got arresting issues in terms of arrest procedures, civil citations. I mean, this covers the entire waterfront of the criminal justice system, and with the goal of increasing accountability in terms of making certain that what we're doing makes sense. And we've not undergone a process like this in the past. This is actually, again, 26 other states have done this, red states, blue states, purple states. So there's really, there's no way of looking at this from a partisan perspective. This is an inherently bipartisan project.
Let me interrupt on that point,
sure.
Because many of these are very thorny issues. I mean, you it sounds to me like you're creating a great deal of momentum to address them, but that doesn't mean that that Democrats and Republicans won't get these the findings of this top to bottom review and not be able to agree on whether there should be lighter sentences for certain crimes and not be able to agree on how much should be invested in inmate services.
What I would say to that is, I mean, that is the genius, if you will, of the JRI process, is that you start this process off by having as wide of a possible of stakeholders so that what they agree on, and actually, quite frankly, there's been some criticism of this process that it lends itself to less dramatic, if you will, changes by starting off with that consensual process of making sure that what is politically viable versus what some of the advocacy groups want to push by having it staked out in terms of having all of the different groups at the table lends itself to the point where most of the states that have ultimately done this, the votes have been extremely lopsided in terms of favoring reform, because you involve both parties, you go with what works, and a number of the states there's been no dissenting votes. I'm not promising that in the state of Maryland, and you could see a circumstance where folks didn't like the end product that results, but the default model is to work to smooth out some of those rough edges before it comes to the legislature, which, again, is not something that we've always done. This is a new way of looking at things.
When I first read this legislation, it had a 2-year time frame. It's been turned into emergency legislation. Why?
The issue there is we work with the folks from the Pew Foundation, and they have told us that their traditional model is to in the spring after a session to look at the data to come up with their analysis, and they've done this, like I said, 26 times. So they're pretty the way this works is pretty standard, and they say that they'll look at the data. We would convene the GOCAP led task force in the summer and start to reach consensus and prepare legislation fall towards January, and can hopefully do it in a year period.
So you expect to start making changes in a year? Real changes.
I would expect that, provided everything goes right and they get the data that they need, that we could have legislation to propose by session of 2016.
Do you expect this to save Maryland money?
Well, the interesting thing about JRI and looking at it in other states is what I would not make the promise, nor would I ever support the notion that this would be intended to squeeze money out of corrections and apply it somewhere else. JRI doesn't work that way. It's fundamentally set up so that you're basically realigning where funds are being spent in your correction system.
We'd love to keep in touch with you as this progresses.
Of course.
Thanks so much.
My pleasure. Nice talking to you.
Christopher Schenck. He left the state Senate to head the Governor's Office of Crime Control and Prevention. We've got links to the bill that would create the task force, as well as background about the Justice Reinvestment Initiative, all at our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. This is Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. Reflecting on the challenges before the criminal justice system reminds us of the challenges facing those who pass through it. We want to revisit a conversation we first brought you last June. It's a story of an ex-offender trying to find his way after being released from prison. This is how Clifford White describes himself as a teenager.
Rambunctious and wild. Like, I didn't really have no limitations on what I wanted to do to get what I needed or what I wanted.
And what he wanted was what a lot of teenage boys want, even today.
I wanted Jordans.
That's Nike Jordans, shoes, and other nice things. But they're expensive, and he didn't have the money. So he tried to get some money with a gun.
In my mind, there was no other way, but now I see it was other ways. I could have went and got a lawnmower, went and cut grass and stuff like that.
He was caught, convicted of armed robbery and gun possession, and sentenced to prison.
22 years, 3 months, 19 days.
He went in 1997. He got out on parole in December 2012. He was 34. The world he came back to was different.
Got on Facebook for the first time. I'd never seen the internet before, 2012.
Clifford had support that a lot of ex-offenders might not have. His sisters showed him how to use a smartphone and gave him a car. He started applying for jobs and held down a few for months at a time, but they didn't pay much. One temp job at a department store almost turned permanent, but he was fired when they looked into his background and found he'd lied on his application.
When it says, have you ever been convicted of a crime? I said, no. I mean, nobody's going to hire you when they see that yes. They can say they do, but they don't.
So he went back on the job hunt.
I thought it'd be difficult to find a good-paying job, but not so difficult to find a non-good-paying
job.
Any
job, yeah.
But that ain't the case. Any job is like a high-paying job. It's hard to find any job.
And being unemployed was not an option.
Convicts, our freedom costs. I'm saying we have to pay to be on probation. It costs $50 a month. I got this pressure where I have to work. I have to keep employment. I can't go 30 days, 90 days without having no job, without getting in any type of trouble. Who has more incentive? Somebody that wants to make $10 an hour or somebody that has to make $10 an hour? I have to make money. Or not make money, but I have to have a job.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I'm working for my freedom as opposed to somebody else just working. It's a difference. It's a struggle if you don't have a record. But I knew this before I left prison, and this is why I studied so diligently. Like anybody that knows me knows, Cliff studies that business. Because I used to tell him, this is what's going to keep me out of jail.
Since he felt no one was going to hire him, he took what he'd learned about business in prison and started his own.
I have two companies. I have my own carpet cleaning business, and I clean out foreclosed houses for banks. My business is really out there. It started, but I'm having a rough time with capital and things like that. But because I'm still establishing credit and, you know, bank's not going to mess with me yet and stuff like that. But I want to do something that I'm worth. And it might sound picky, and I'm just being honest, but you can't offer me a job $5. I'm worth something. I got a list of 50 people that satisfy customers. You can go to my Facebook page and see all the comments. And, you know, I would tell the people, how would we look at you if we judge you by the things you did when you was a teenager? Because when I got incarcerated, I was a teenager. So would you want to be judged by the things you did as a teenager opposed to when you were in your 30s? If you don't want to be judged, then don't judge me. And from there, I might be your best employee. If you hire me, I'll probably be your best employee other than somebody else that's taking advantage of a situation, because you might hire them because of how they look or their race or because they got a clean record, but they might not work as hard as me. So, you know, don't judge a book by its cover. Read it. You might like what you see.
Clifford White. We spoke with him last summer. His carpet cleaning business is still up and running. We have a link to that at our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. We also have a link to a website he's created for a novel he's self-publishing called Life After Death. He says it's a legal thriller. I'm Sheila Cast. Ahead on Maryland Morning, Fort McHenry's World War I legacy. Stay with us on 88.1.